Now, back to the Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here. We are at the half of our Jersey Mike's Game of the Week. It is 13-10 in favor of Toms River North. Touchdowns for Mike Husney. Touchdown for Bryce Watts. That's the difference in the game right now, that 50-yarder from Watts. Also a 25-yard field goal for KC Stackable, and a 1-yard touchdown run for Carmen Sclafani. 13-10, Toms River North. We go down to the sideline and join our very own Ed Sarluka.
Thanks, guys. I am with Bob Batters from the Shore Sports Network, covering this one for our site tonight. And a pretty interesting game, Bob. And we'll move out of the way of the band down here. Let's get up and move. But, you know, the pace of the game has been so, you know, slow with penalties and timeouts and long counts and everything. Just no pace to the game.
There really hasn't been any flow. The penalties, as you said, especially, you know, on Brick's drive, you know, it kind of set them up, you know, to have to punt early on, or before that interception, I should say. And then Tom Zorth had a drive that, you know, ended up setting up Brick's touchdown, where they pinned themselves back on a 4th and 31 from, you know, inside their own 7-yard line because of the penalty. So you're right, because of that, not a lot of flow. And usually with Tom Zorth running that no huddle, there's a lot of pace to it. We saw that in the Southern game last week. But you're right, it's been an odd first half from that standpoint.
You know, with Asante Moore hurting now with the ankle, they did tape it up and said they'll make a decision at halftime in the locker room. He did relace the shoe up, but, you know, Parker Day, Husney becomes a bigger factor in this one, and, you know, what do you think about the injury?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough blow for Toms River North if Asante Moore really isn't going to be able to go for much of the game. We'll see in the second half, because the power that he brings, obviously, at a running back, especially, you know, in contrast to Husney and what he does, is big, but you know, you look at Bryce Watts, who stepped up. You know, he's had a big interception, big play on that jet sweep for the touchdown. You know, Husney's made some incredible runs. I'm serious. He looks like Johnny Manziel out there at times. The way he plays, I mean, it's become cliche, but the way he can make something out of nothing and the way he can, you know, it really is a true dual threat. I mean, he drives the ship there. So if he's playing well, North is going to be in the game.
Pretty interesting comparison. Mike Husney and Johnny Football Manziel. But, you know, It's not often that you have two outstanding quarterbacks that both are going to be over 2,000 yards, you know, combined off, you know, running and passing with Sclafani and Husney. Just two outstanding athletes in a Shore Conference season that is loaded with outstanding players.
It's been an unbelievable season from the, you know, the dual threat quarterback standpoint. You know, there's also modern day's Christian Palmer, who's going to go for 1,000 at both the two quarterbacks in the same game, obviously. And then just an unbelievable amount of 1,000-yard rushers led by Demir Willis at Long Branch, 1,800 yards in 7 games. You know, interestingly, in the beginning of the year, it's kind of all about the quarterback and these spread offenses, and we've had great receivers over the year, and kind of where's the running back on and a little bit of a new role. But this year, you've seen these run-heavy offenses kind of getting back to, you know, that old-fashioned just power football style. And, you know, obviously, with the amount of 1,000-yard rushers we're going to have, you can see the difference this season.
Well, you know, I counted them this morning. You know, I was going over my notes, and with just average seasons from some of these lesser-known backs, we could have 18,000-yard rushers. That's unbelievable to me.
It really is unbelievable. And just off the top of my head, you look at Class A North, Imamu Mayfield, Alpin, Cole Rogers, Middletown South, Josh Dixon, Freeboro is already there, Chad Freshnock, Middletown North. That's in one division, you know, 4 1,000-yard rushers. It's really – you go through all divisions and you start picking them out, and it really is just unbelievable to see. Every week, it feels like you look at the scoreboard and you see the stats, and somebody's rushing for over 250 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns. It's become to the point where if you don't go over 300, we're kind of like, meh, you know, decent game. Yeah, exactly. It's really been a pleasure to watch so far.
Yeah, you got to work your tail off to get player of the week this year, you know. I mean, Charlie Volker runs for 320 and finishes behind Demir Willis, who rushes for 380.
And the crazy thing is, for the first few weeks of the season and doing the player of the week, You know, Demir Willis is having these monster games, and he was Class B North Player of the Week almost every week, but there was all these other unbelievable performances that were edging him out for overall. It just shows how many great performances there's been and how many variety of players there's been having these big games. I mean, there's been the key guys that every week, you know, they're going to put up big numbers and have some highlight plays, but there's been a lot of guys. You know, a guy like Derek Ernst is a big one for me, of Rowdy, you know, takes over for Richie Salerno in the halftime of the first game after he goes down with a knee injury. And all he's done is run for over 100 yards in every game so far. He's on his way to 1,000 yards. So it's been spread out, and it's been, you know, again, fun to watch.
The big one tomorrow to me is Manalapan and Freehold. You know, it's for the A. You know, whoever wins it clinches at least a tie. Is it a case of, you know, like the elite program of Manalapan against the upstart Freehold Borough team?
I think it's Freehold Borough kind of more returning to the success they had under Mark Ciccatelli. I mean, their best start since 2008 when they went on to win a state title. But to me, I look at that game as it's a bad time for Freehold to play Manalapan. Manalapan's coming over that loss, and every other year Manalapan's loss has been in their last game, and they've had to stew for a year. You know, they get, and Eddie Greer said this to me after the loss to RBC, best thing for them is to be able to get back on the field next week. Freehold Borough has not played the competition that Manalapan has yet. I don't know if they're going to be ready, you know, for what the Braves are going to necessarily bring to the table. You know, Freehold, obviously with Josh Dixon at running back and Jay Curry at quarterback and some other playmakers, the freshman Shante Worthy is a very good player. But I don't know if they have the depth. You know, you're going to look at that sideline in that game and see about 50 kids on the sideline for Freehold and about 150 for Manalapan. And, you know, again, coming off that loss, that's going to be a motivated team. And I think Manalapan's going to go in there and take care of business. But we're going to learn in these next 2 weeks what Freehold's made of with Manalapan and Middletown South back-to-back as they head towards the playoffs.
Yeah, and of course, Freehold also plays in this very tough Central Jersey 4 where Brick also sits.
Absolutely. That's a great bracket with Jackson Memorial and Middletown South also. And, you know, right now it looks like, you know, the Shore is going to have a winner out of that bracket, and it's going to be an excellent one to follow. To me right now, Jackson Memorial is the best team in that bracket. I mean, it's interesting in the sense that since Brick's 30-24 overtime win over Jackson, Jackson's played better. Brick has not played to the level they did early on in the season, the big win over Brick Morrow and then the Jackson win, where the Jaguars came out the following week and beat this Tom's Roar team 35-7. They've been very impressive. So I really like the way Jackson's playing. They're going to play RBC before the playoffs. It's a game that doesn't matter. It's the ninth game. So we'll kind of see how good that Jackson team is as it gets to the playoffs. But, again, a great bracket. Going to be fun to follow.
Yeah, you know, we were kidding with Coach Guerrieri when we had him down on the Investors High School Football Show a couple Thursdays ago and said, hey, you picked up a pretty good scrimmage, you know, right before the playoffs start, RBC.
And exactly. Well, and the funny thing is, too, you have Jackson Memorial, you reminded me of that, Jackson Memorial Manalapan scrimmage in the preseason. That's usually been the first game of the season, you know, for those guys. That was actually Manalapan's last regular season loss before they fell to RBC last weekend. So it's funny, after all these years of us going, we really want this Manalapan RBC game. That Manalapan Jackson game this year would have been pretty good, but I don't want to get any tomatoes thrown at me. So we'll stay away from that.
So another slow start by the Caseys tonight. I think I got a score of 11-7. Update me.
Well, RBC scored first, was up 8-0. Ocean hit a big pass play to make it 8-7. All RBC did was rattle off 31 straight points. It could be more. I haven't checked Twitter in the last 2 minutes, but it was 39-7 late in the first half. Last I saw, Eddie Hahn, a 40-yard interception, turnover touchdown, two touchdown passes. So obviously he's come out and played very well. You know, minus Nick Lubisher, you know, the big time wide receiver. Trevor Calley also, you know, was dinged up, didn't play him in the Alpine game. He might be out today. So, without some playmakers, Hahn's still making it happen. A couple big touchdowns, obviously the big defensive play, and the Caseys look like they're rolling again, remaining undefeated.
You know, we in the media know of Eddie Hahn, but can we safely say that Eddie Hahn has been under the radar as an outstanding, excellent quarterback all year?
I think he has, just because before the Manalapan game, Eddie Hahn and most of the rest of the starters, they're playing two quarters a game. They're blowing these teams out in the first half. You look at their stats, and if you didn't know anything, you wouldn't wonder what's so special about this team. But, you know, you saw him in that Manalapan game. Again, his stats weren't great, but he had those two big passing plays, so many key plays on third and fourth downs. And, Yeah, and I wrote the column about that after that win, that he changes their offense in ways that they haven't had in a long time, probably since Ryan Kalish was their quarterback. And Han is a, you know, Ryan Kalish, obviously, he was a baseball player playing football. He's the Red Sox or the Cubs organization now, so that's, you know, kind of what I'm talking about. But, you know, Han just brings that dynamic from the quarterback position they haven't had. He really is potentially that missing link. If you're going to beat the St. Joe's Montvales, the Del Bartons, you know, teams like that in the playoffs, you need a player at every position, and especially at the quarterback position. The dual threat that he brings, we'll see, but he's the kind of player that puts them over the top.
Yeah, they really haven't had that outstanding rusher that like they usually do, you know, and that just shows you what Eddie Han has meant to that team.
And they're very balanced, too. I mean, you saw it in the Manalapan game. You know, Mike Cordova, who was really a big-time backup over the last couple of years and with some huge, you know, runs, you kind of look and said, okay, he kind of takes over as a starter. But they just have so much depth where he gets his carries, Tommy Spurnell gets carries, Nick Sella, all seniors. You rotate those guys in, they're all fresh behind that big offensive line. And then you throw Hans dynamic in there, that's a tough offensive stop. And Nick Lubisher has been, you know, arguably the biggest playmaker in the wide receiver position in the Shore so far this season. Seems like every game he's making a big catch, you know, a long touchdown, something on special teams he's doing. So they have the playmakers. Han's taking advantage of that, and that's why they are where they are. 39 straight, looking for 40 tonight against the Shore.
That's an amazing streak, 40 straight of Shore Conference opponents. And one more quick one. We should mention, and Kevin made note of this, Manny Bowen kicked out of a game tonight for throwing a punch. You know, early in that contest with Barnegat and Lakewood, Barnegat is in command of that game at halftime. But, you know, he's got to sit for almost all of this one because it was early in the first quarter, and then he's got to sit next week also.
Yeah, I mean, that's very unfortunate. Obviously, that kind of stuff isn't tolerated in games, and, you know, Bowen's going to have to pay the price, you know, obviously out for today, sit in the next game. From a football standpoint and what it means for Barnegat on the field, the fact they're in command of this game, I mean, this is the win they needed to really move towards trying to get a, you know, a share of the B-South title after the loss to Central this year. So, you know, after they get past Lakewood, not having Bowen for the next game, as long as they have him back for the playoffs, that's what they need. But, you know, he's got to get his head on straight. Whatever made him throw that punch, frustration or whatnot, you know, obviously that's not tolerated, and I'm sure they're going to have that conversation with him. So we'll see how he responds when he gets back on the field.
You know, it's been a kind of a frustrating season for him. He's missed two or three games because of concussion problems, you know, injuries that he thought maybe he was okay, you know. With a concussion, you think you're okay, but with that concussion rule now and, you know, with the 10-day period and you've got to pass all kinds of tests and so on, doctors, rely cautiously with that type of injury.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, it has been a frustrating season for Bowen. You know, the injuries, obviously now this latest incident. You know, so much attention on him coming to the season. He had a great year last year, but, you know, getting recruited and committing to Penn State obviously just brings more of a spotlight on you and kind of all that coming to this season. You know, he hasn't had the huge year. You know what kind of talent he is, but, you know, the good thing for him is there's still time this season. Barnegat's going to be in the playoffs. He's the kind of player that can have the games that could carry them all the way to the state title. He's that kind of talented player. So we'll see what he brings in the playoffs. I mean, there's obviously still time for him to go out there and do some special things this season. So I think if Barnegat goes out and wins a state title, anyone's not going to really care what happened the first 6-7 weeks of the season.
There you go. Bobby, always good to talk to you. Where's our partner tonight?
Scott is at the B Central War for the Shore, Point Beach Shore. And Shore. Shore up 3-0 at the half, I believe, Ed. So, again, that one last year was for the B Central title. Shore won. We all know what happened in the playoffs. So we'll see, but Shore looking strong early. Beach, a lot of injuries. Michael Fraunheim out for the year with a collarbone. Joe Regriniak just come back from a lower body injury. So Point Beach dinged up and Shore taking advantage. So,
yeah, I think it was 31-0 in the regular season for the conference title, and then 12-7 in the championship game by Beach. Shore winning 31-0, Beach winning the championship, their first ever.
Yeah, I mean, Point Beach certainly take that result again. Shore's looked really good since they've got standout junior Doug Goldsmith back. You know, the offense is not as high scoring, but they get it done. They grind out. Their defense is excellent with James Bedell also at linebacker. So, you know, Shore looking really strong, not only to win that division title if they hold on tonight, but, again, a threat for a championship in CJ1.
Thanks a lot, Bob, and we'll see you in the next couple weeks. Got some big games coming.
Always big games around the Shore, so we'll see you.
As the Anchors Away is played by the Mariner Band, many of them in costume, as you guys can see. We go back upstairs to Matt and Kevin.
Ed, good job. Appreciate Bob swinging by, giving us a few minutes as well. Always good to get the knowledge. 13-10 is our score. Teams should be making their way back onto the field fairly soon. The Mariners with the three-point advantage. We're at the half. Our Jersey Mike's game of the week. We're back in 3 minutes on the Shore Sports Network.